receive my worship. All of my, keep singing, keep singing. Here's my worship, here's my worship.
My worship.
All of my worship. Receive my worship, Lord. Receive my worship. All of my word, and I will not be silent. I will always worship you. Praise the Lord, everybody. That's somebody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Still somebody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Still somebody. I need everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. The Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the name of the Lord. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the one who woke you up this morning. I'm talking about the one who kept you all this week. I'm talking about the one who have been fighting demons from hiding to take you this week. God is good and his mercies is everlasting and his truth, that's Jesus, endures through all generation. So when I say praise the Lord, I'm not talking about praising me. I'm talking about praising the name of the living God. We can't afford to be silent. Let us pray. Eternal loving Lord, you have journeyed here with us, Lord Jesus. So Lord, we would not ask that the Holy Spirit will come divinely close. What we would ask this morning is that this word would find a place of rest in the hearts of your children. Move, Holy Spirit, in this place, from the oldest to the youngest. I'm praying that you will speak, and we will give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due to your holy name. All these things I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. The word of the Lord this morning is coming from the book of Amos. What book did I say? Amos chapter 8. Amos the 8th chapter. And I'm reading 12 verses. 12 verses. I'm just going to ask if you could stand. If you could stand as we read. I'm going to read Amos chapter 8. And I'm reading verses 1 to 12. If you can stand, I want to invite you to stand. Reading from the New International Version of the Bible. The Bible says, Amos chapter 8, verses 1 to 12. This is what the sovereign Lord showed me. A basket of ripe fruit. What do you see, Amos? The Lord asked. Amos answered, a basket of ripe fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the time is ripe for my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. In that day, declares the sovereign Lord, the songs of the temple will turn to wailing. Many, many bodies flung everywhere. Silence. Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grains again? And the Sabbath be ended that we may market wheat, skimping on the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales. Verse number 6, buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat. The Lord has sworn by himself, the pride of Jacob, I will never forget anything they have done. Will not the land tremble for this? And all who live in it mourn, the whole land will rise like the Nile. It will be stirred up and then sink like the river of Egypt. Verse number 9. In that day, hear the saying again. In that day, declares the sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noontime and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn the religious festivals into mourning and all your singing into weeping. I will make all of you wear sackcloth and shave your heads. I will make that time like the mourning of an only son and the end of it like the bitter day. Here is it. Here is it. Here is where we will land our plane today. Here is it. Verse number 11 and 12. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. Last verse, people will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord. And the Bible says, but they will not find it. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This morning, I want to preach to you using the title, The Spoil Fruit. The Spoil Fruit. What did I say? You got to talk back to me now. What did I say? The Spoil Fruit. The Spoil Fruit, present tense. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we open the Old Testament prophets, we often hear a thundering voice of judgment against people, the ancient people of Israel. Today's passage from the prophet Amos, a simple shepherd called by God to deliver a difficult message, is no different. The message is stark, it's hard, it's harsh. God showed Amos a vision of a basket of ripe summer fruit. I need to let you understand, because this might not make sense to you today, but the ripe summer fruit is speaking to the fact that this is the end of the harvest, and the ripeness means that it is literally just about to go spoil. God is talking to the people, and he's saying to them, right now, where you are, the present condition you are in is that you are just about to go spoil. This was not a message that Israel wanted to hear. And I know it's not a message that we want to hear today either. They were a prosperous nation, outwardly religious, observing their holy days. Yet beneath all this success and piety, their hearts were far from God. And brothers and sisters, I'm just saying, I don't want us to sing all this up here. I will not be silent. And then when the roll is called up yonder, your name is missing. The Bible says that they were good at worship. They were good at church service. They were good at singing. They were good at preaching. They were good at teaching. But they were not good at being faithful to the covenant that the Lord had established with them. I'm going somewhere this morning. Amos' message forces us today to ask if, watch this, if the church today in America, I want you to hear me now, Amos' message forces us today to ask if the church today in America is too affluent, too rich, too intelligent that they have lost their way. Are we too ripe for judgment? Or are we living as God's redeemed people? The reality is, the word of the Lord to Amos that Amos brought to the people was the same word that John brought to the church of Laodicea. Rich, increase in goods and in wanting of nothing. So they treated people as though they were things. So the first thing I want you to consider this morning is, don't let your sin cause you to treat, watch it. Don't let your sin cause you to put profit over people. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Don't let your sin cause you to put profit over people. You know, sometimes we treat people as though they are things on a shelf that we can just move around. You see, we forget that people have feelings, they have emotions, and they have a whole lot that they're dealing with also. The Bible says, hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor in the land. This is what they said. I want you, listen, I hope you're getting this morning. Look, verse number five says, they will trample on the poor and the needy. And verse number five says, they will ask, when will the new moon be over? And when will the Sabbath be over? Okay, let's make it clear. Today's the Sabbath, is it not? And the businessman will be like, man, when will the sun set so I can start making some money? But hear this. The issue was not just that they were making money. The issue was they were cheating the people. The scales that they had were false scale. They would put a 1 pound weight on it, but it was not really weighing 1 pound on the other side. They would always come out on top. But not only that, not only they were cheating in business, they were also purchasing people for nothing. You think slavery for us today was a new thing? No. They were people had become possessions. So listen to this. They were worshiping on Sabbath, but they were just waiting to commit treason against the Most High God right at sunset. Y'all don't hear me. They could not wait for the Sabbath to be over. I'm going somewhere. I'm building this thing up. The Bible says they exploited the poor, treated them like trash, dragged them through the streets, had false balances, cheat in business. They were dishonest with the measuring on the scales. They were doing things that was unseemly in God's eyes. They took advantage by taking the prices for things so high that people could not purchase. The folks were starving, all at the hands of church people. I want to make this clear. This was not a message to the pagan. This was the message to God's people. But this is where it got a little bit tricky. The Bible says that there would be silence in the sanctuary. Silence in the sanctuary. God declares that the songs of the temple will turn into wailing. I want to pause right here just to make this really vivid. I think about Kyron and his team was up here singing. And as they were singing, they all just broke out crying. And they're not crying because they're so emotional, or I just feel the Spirit and the Holy Spirit is just working on me and tears are coming down for all the good things that he has done. No, they're crying because the Lord has turned his back on them. Y'all hearing me? And I've discovered that many of us have gotten so comfortable in our spiritual decline that we don't even know that Jesus is missing. I'm going somewhere. The worship was empty and offensive to the Lord. Jesus was trying to get a message to them. Jesus wanted them to understand what was taking place. He was trying to let them see that human beings are supposed to be treated well. He wanted them to understand that the things that they were doing was not pleasing in the sight of God. They are now about to be spoiled. They are at the end of the rope, and God is saying to them, he will not put up with it any longer. He's trying to get a message across because they have prioritized making money over the man and woman in the land. Does this sound familiar? We live in a nation that capitalism is the main focus. Am I making sense to y'all this morning? And let me share this with you. It is impossible for we to live here and capitalism is the main focus and the church is not affected by it. Money dictates a lot of what we do. I just want you to think for a moment. I just want you to think. Money dictates a lot of what we do. See, in capitalism, just in case y'all don't know, in the structure of our government, it's not the politicians that run things. I don't know if y'all know that. The politicians don't really run. Capitalism don't put politicians as the head of the country. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? It is not the politicians that run the country. It's the businessmen that run the country. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So they would elect politicians to continue to make them make money. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So they would pass laws, and they don't care about the poor man. The poor man means nothing to them. Y'all hear what I'm saying? They would pass laws, and the laws would benefit who? The rich. But watch this. We argue and we fight and we talk about politics, Democrats and Republicans, when we're not even having the real conversation. Because the real conversation is not Democrats or Republicans. I don't know if y'all know that. Because even if Democrats are in place and in power, they are there to carry out the biddings of another rich man. Are y'all hearing me this morning? You and I are never the agenda for a capitalistic system. That's outside. But we have brought many of that into our church. Where you look at the structure, which is not what God wanted for us, but we have it. But the Lord wants us to start prioritizing people of all these systems and organizations that we have, because they're not really helping us to grow. So here, the church, the Lord had a problem, because the system that they set up was a system of injustice, and they could not turn around. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, the Bible says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Y'all don't hear me. How can dear children, he says, let us love with words, or let us not love, sorry, with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So this behavior of selling the poor and treating them the way that they were treated, it brought me to my next point. And this is where the sermon takes its rest. There is a famine in the land. Y'all hearing me this morning? There is a famine in the land. Verse number 9 says, in that day, declares the Lord, sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and the earth in broad light will go dark. In verse number 11, it says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst of water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. I want you to take note of this. The Bible says there will be a famine for the word. A famine for what? So can we just take our time to break that down? The Bible makes it clear in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimonies, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. The Bible makes it clear, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwell amongst men. Which means the Bible is saying to them back then that the word of God, which is the covenantal word, which is found in the pre-incarnate Jesus, will be abandoned by the people, and God will remove it, so they will not find any movement or power of the word back then. Watch this. Today, the word for us today is this. You see, the word Jesus Christ carries weight. I think y'all get the word Jesus Christ carries weight. Oh, that's bad. The word Jesus Christ carries weight. Lord, help us. Help us in here, Lord. I'm going to say it again. The word Jesus Christ, and I'm saying the word Jesus Christ, I didn't say the name. The word Jesus Christ carries weight. Amen. 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 This is the issue. And I'm sure many of you are online, you're on the internet. The young people scroll on TikTok and Instagram, and the old folks scroll on YouTube Shorts. Y'all know what I'm talking about on Facebook. Tell me if I'm lying. No, I'm not lying, because I know older folks, they're online also. But this is the thing. If you recognize, and I'm going to give you all some homework right now. Pay attention to most sermons and pay attention to who is missing. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Pay attention to who is missing. Now, remember I said the word is Jesus Christ. The word is who? Today, the famine is Jesus Christ. How do I know? Look at most of our gospel songs today. Matter of fact, let's not even hide. In most of our gospel songs, they would tell you that they're told by these record labels that they should not say the name Jesus. Am I lying? It's online. Everything is there. Matter of fact, there was a gospel artist there, DeForest Frank, that was saying that he lost so much. And you can go see his testimony. He was just talking about the fact that Jesus is not really present anymore in gospel music. So help me understand, if Jesus is not present in gospel music, how is it gospel? Because the gospel is the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and soon coming of Jesus Christ. Y'all know this, right? So if this is the gospel, why is the name Jesus removed from all of our gospel songs? Well, so-called gospel songs. Matter of fact, some artists, they don't even want to be called Christian artists no more. They want to say they're singing inspirational music. I'm bringing it a little close because the problem that we're having in our church today is that we are releasing many of these spirits as we sing these songs. Because remember, most of these songs are not embedded in Jesus. They are embedded in money. And because they are paid well by record labels, they rather leave Jesus out so they can make some more money. Remember, these are churchgoers. These are church folks. So when the Bible says there's a famine of the word, there's a famine right now. Jesus cannot be found. So when Isaiah, who is, by the way, Isaiah is what we call the messianic prophet. And this morning we were talking about it with Sabbath school. Where's the guy? I don't see him. We were talking about it in Sabbath school this morning. I love this week's Sabbath school lesson because it speaks about the true Joshua. It talks about the true Joshua. This is the issue. Jesus Christ is all encompassing when it comes to the word of God. Can somebody come on? Let's turn to our Bibles. John chapter 1. I want you to see this. I'm talking about there's a famine in the word. John chapter 1, verse 45. John chapter 1, what? Listen, I'm gonna get you out of here right now. I'm not taking long. I want to make this clear. John 1:45. The Bible says in John 1:45, when you're there, say amen. The Bible says this. Remember, we talk a lot about the word of God. One of our sisters was asking about this morning. If you want the key to scripture is Jesus Christ. This is what John 1:45 said. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses wrote in the law." Let's stop right there. What's the law of God? What's the law? What's Moses' law? Anybody can tell me? Moses' law. No. It's part of that. That's a part of it. What's the law of Moses? Help me somebody. Please, don't leave me here. Help me. The law of Moses. What's the law of Moses? Okay. I'm hearing it. Somebody, don't be scared. The law of Moses. See, if you read this text then, what are you getting from this text? The law of Moses is the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's called the Torah in English. Torah means law. The entire five books is what we call the law of Moses. Y'all hearing me this morning? So watch this. The Bible says, we have found him whom Moses in the law wrote, watch this, and also whom the prophets wrote. Moses wrote, and who else wrote? Who are the prophets? Anybody knows? Let me help you. The major prophets, which are four, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and then you have the minor prophets. Every prophet that prophesied, I mean a prophet today, Amos, every prophet that prophesied about Jesus. Are y'all with me so far? This is Bible. This is not me. The Bible says, we have found the one, watch this, Amos is talking to, we have found the one that Moses wrote in the law and also whom the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So it's on the screen. I'm glad you've seen it. So watch this. Watch this. The Bible makes it clear that, watch this, Moses in the law and the prophets is all talking about who? But watch this. Today, we're not talking about Jesus. When you go to a Revelation seminar right now, who's the main focus? Who's the main focus? Don't lie. Who's the main focus? Satan, the dragon. And all who's working for the dragon. But Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. But guess who we speak about least in the book? We speak about Jesus the least. There's a famine in the land. Jesus is not getting the credit that he deserves. He's not getting his worship. We sang a song. I just can't even remember which one. One of them was talking about Jesus, and we're talking about praising Jesus and the reign of God. Everything is embodied in Jesus Christ. When we talk about the sanctuary, we talk about the sanctuary as though it's a slaughterhouse, and not recognizing that the sanctuary is a depiction of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the sanctuary. That's why you were just singing that the veil was torn before him. So if Jesus is not getting his rightful place, then who's taking that place? Talk to me. Who's taking that place? We're already in the famine, brothers and sisters. We're already in the famine. The Bible makes it clear that this is a summer fruit. That at the end, the fruit is spoiled. The Hebrew word here means that the Lord is at his end with all that we're doing. Now, mind you, the Bible makes it clear that the plan of salvation was set up before the foundations of the world. That's in 1 Corinthians, right? Now, watch this. If the plan of salvation is set up, God has a plan. But when you pray, you don't go to Jesus. Talk to me. You say, no, Lord, we're not going to go to who you send. We don't want to use your plan, my brother. We want to use our plan. And our plan is not praying to Jesus, because he's not really God. It's in our mind. So which is why we keep saying Father. Because we're afraid if we say Jesus, we might be disrespecting the Father. But we can't be disrespectful to the Father. Colossians chapter 1 says that God, that is the Godhead, was pleased to have the fullness of the Godhead dwell in Jesus Christ in bodily form. But guess what? We won't go to Jesus. Jesus says, listen, if we're still talking about judgment as though somebody else is going to judge us. So I hear, brethren, I have to teach this morning. I want to make you, when you leave here, I want to be clear that there is a famine and I don't want you to be a part of the famine. We are still saying that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for who? You and I. Isn't that what we say? Where do we get it from? The Bible says Jesus is at the right hand. And the Bible says he's interceding. It never said to the Father. So let's go Bible again. Romans chapter 8. Can we go there? It's just teaching. We're going to get out of here right now. Romans chapter 8. Acts Romans. Is it okay for me to ask somebody to read? Romans chapter 8:26. Can somebody read for me? Romans 8:26. It's right there. I want you to leave here understanding that if it's not Jesus, you're not going to be accepted by the Lord, by God. Romans 8:26. Anybody have it? If you serve, have it say, oh, it's on the screen. Somebody read for me. It's on the screen. What does it say? Go ahead.
In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness.
Uh-huh.
We do not know what we ought to pray for.
Uh-huh.
But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans.
So we have the first intercessor. The first intercessor is who? Keep the mic, sister. Don't give up the mic. Keep the mic. The first intercessor is who? It's on the screen. The first intercessor is who? The Holy Spirit, right? We good? Let's go to verse 34. Same chapter. Just drop down to 34. You're going to read again, verse 34. So the first intercessor is the Holy Spirit. Read again. What does it say here?
Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us.
He's interceding for who?
Us.
So the first intercessor, what who? What's who? The second intercessor is who? What does intercession mean?
A middleman.
Stand between, pleading. I heard somebody say pleading over here. But I want you all to understand, when you're interceding, it's really just communicating. Right? It's really just communicating. So this is what's happening for your salvation and mine. Are you with me? Brother, while I'm saying this, could you just pull up John 14:26. For your salvation and mine, the Holy Spirit and Jesus is communicating to one another so that your faith will not fail. Are y'all with me so far? They're working together, because this is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important. Because without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can't really live as a Christian. What does it say? Sis, read again for me. Read again for me. Don't hold on. You're going to put in the work today. Go ahead.
But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you.
So the Advocate will, what's the Holy Spirit's job?
Advocate.
To advocate, to remind you of everything that who said? 15:26, next chapter, verse 26, same verse. You're going to read it again. This is the Holy Spirit. This is why his responsibility is to bring you to look more and more like Jesus. Remember, there's a famine. Because Satan is trying to get rid of who? He's not trying to get rid of God, because his issue was never with God. His issue was with Jesus. That's what the great controversy is between Christ and Satan. So he's trying to get rid of Jesus. What does it say? 15:26. Sounds the same.
When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me.
He will testify about who? Who's speaking? Jesus says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to testify of who? Because he's called the Spirit of truth. And Jesus is truth. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Sis, you're gonna take us out. You're gonna take us out. All right, sister, you're gonna take us out. Revelation 12, 17. While he's pulling this text up, I want you to understand this. If the great controversy is between Christ and Satan, Satan is gonna do everything possible to get Christians to stop mentioning the name of Jesus. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Which is why first he's attacking music, because it's so easy. Music enters into your mind without your permission. You don't have to ask it. You're going to Walmart shopping and say, man, I'm going in here to get two things. You hear some strange music playing. You don't even know what the music is saying. Oh, you know, you come out and you're pushing a cart. You went in a basket, but you're pushing a cart. This is what happens, because music is entering and psychologists choose their music. So this is not random music that's being playing. And the psychologist also tells them how to pack the shelves. So you're walking in and... Listen, I'm not going to go to Walmart. Let me go to Dollar Tree, because Walmart is going to have me spend too much money. Listen, Revelation 12:17. This is it. Because the reason why I want you to understand this is because what's happening right now is an assassination of Jesus Christ. They are killing him again. There it is.
Then the dragon was enraged at the woman, and he went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring. Those who keep God's command and hold fast their testimony about Jesus.
Testimony about who?
Jesus.
The testimony about who? Who testifies of Jesus? We just read it earlier. Who testifies of Jesus? The Holy Spirit. Revelation 19:10. So the Holy Spirit testifies of who? So when the Bible says the dragon was enraged with the woman, went to make war with the remnant of his seed, those who keep the commandments of God, and what? The testimonies of Jesus. Remember, his issue is with who? Jesus. So if he wants to take anybody out of our pulpits, you know who he's going to take? Jesus out. So a person can come up and preach an entire message and mention Jesus one time. How is that possible? Revelation 19:10. So the Bible makes it clear in 12:17 that the testimonies of Jesus Christ is what it's about. Those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimonies of Jesus Christ. What does Revelation 19:10 says?
At this, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Mm. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus.
The spirit of prophecy does what? Bears testimony to who? Brethren, listen to me. The reason why right now, presently, we should be asking for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to fill us, because that's the only how we are going to be reminded about Jesus. Satan's intent is to get us to forget about Jesus. And many of you are saying, I'm a Christian. How can I forget about Jesus? Remember, Jesus is not concerned about what your name is. He's concerned about how faithful you are. Amos said to the people, God is not concerned about your lip service. He's concerned about how you actually treat people in the name of the Lord. The sovereign Lord, the word sovereign Lord here is actually Adonai Yahweh. Adonai Yahweh. Lord God. Master God. Who's our Lord today? Who's our Lord today? Don't be afraid. Who's our Lord today? Jesus. That's what we call him, Lord and Savior. These are not random words. The reason why he's called Lord and Savior, but because before he was incarnate, he was called Adonai. He was called what? When he became a man, now he's called Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So here lies the issue. Here lies the issue. Revelation makes it clear that we should be asking for the Holy Spirit right now, because we're in the time of what's called the spoil fruit. The spoil fruit. Let me ask you a question. If you're in the time of the spoil fruit, when you put spoil fruit next to healthy fruit, what happens? Everything going down the drain. Y'all hear what I'm saying? That means in this house, message of hope, we can't allow any spoiled food to take any space up in here. We need to make sure that the name of Jesus becomes sovereign in this house. That anyone comes in, they have an encounter with Jesus and leave here saying, what must I do to be saved? So as I bring it down to a close, which goes well with this house, there is hope in Christ, who is the living word. There's hope in Christ, who is the living word. The songwriter says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. And if it's not in Christ, you will be sinking, because that's how Satan has designed it. Therefore, we need to exalt Jesus to his rightful place, because he's not just the man who came and died on Calvary. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every voice, every word, every lips should be worshiping Jesus. In Isaiah 9:6, the singer talked about this morning, the Bible says, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name, whose name? Jesus' name. His name, Jesus' name. Whose name? Jesus' name. The Bible says, this is Isaiah, who's called a messianic prophet. Isaiah says, the name of Jesus will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In other words, when you say Father, it's really Jesus, but you need to know psychologically that is Jesus. When you say Mighty God, you're saying who? Jesus. When you say Everlasting Father, when you say Prince of Peace, all these are Jesus. Jesus is called Emmanuel. Emmanuel being translated God with us. So if Jesus is God with us, why won't we put Jesus in his rightful place? Paul recognized this and said these words to the Philippians. He says, watch this. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. To the what? To the what? Who's Paul talking about? Jesus, right? Paul says, therefore, God exalted Jesus to the what? The highest place. And gave him a name above what? So why is it when we're in church, who do you think that God was talking about? He's talking about pagan names? No. He's talking about every name that you have encountered in the Bible before. Jesus' name now stands as supreme. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Let me share this with you. There is no insecurity in the Godhead. So the Father is not saying, oh, if y'all praise Jesus too much, I'm going to have a problem. Well, y'all leaving me out. The Holy Spirit is not saying that either. Because the plan of salvation was already set on Jesus. He's the only one who lost his omnipresence for you and I. So how can we go about any other way? The Bible says, God has given him a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, at the name of who? You've got to call the name. You've got to call the name. We're not going to be in church saying he and you, and we don't know who the he and you is. You know, English is not even like that. You can't even start out saying he and she or he and you without first declaring who the noun is. But we start out you alone. Who's the you? I don't even know who you're talking about. For all I know, you could be talking about Satan. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I went into a hospital room as a chaplain, and I was talking to this guy. He didn't tell me that at the first. When I'm walking, we're talking. He said, yeah, Pastor, I just want to let you know I'm a Satanist, you know. So I said, okay. Still going to talk because we know who has the real power in this house. You know what I'm saying? So we're talking. He said, I'm a Satanist. And when he started telling me about Satan's service, the Church of Satan, it sounds just like what we do in here. Y'all hear what I'm saying? They're not in the burning fire. They're worshiping just like we are worshiping in here. Just that they're worshiping Satan. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Are y'all with me? So that means we have to be clear in how we conduct our service and make sure that the name of Jesus is elevated higher than any name, because as at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Am I talking to anybody in this house today? So if we want to make sure that Satan has no place, you're going to have to elevate Christ. You see, let me tell you this. When Christ is the highest name in here, guess who can't enter into this house? The demons. Because demons tremble. But watch this. Brethren, I want y'all to hear this in the spirit. Holy Spirit, reveal this clearly. Help them to understand this. Listen, when you come into the house and all you say is God, 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 but never mention Jesus, there's a question mark for me there. Let me explain to you why. Because guess what happens? In the Church of Satan, that's what they call Satan. They call him God. Did y'all know that? Let's take it a little clearer. Today, black men in America, they're calling themselves God. I don't know if y'all know that. They say that they are God. Which means just saying God is not enough. And let me tell you this. It's a disrespect to God to just say God. Why? Because he has given Jesus the name above every name. So if he set that in place, who are you to change it? The Bible makes it clear that Amos says that this world in his time was going down in a basket of spoiled fruit that will be discarded because the Lord was tired of what they were doing to his people. And I want to suggest to you today that we are facing the same fate if we don't change course or even allow the Holy Spirit to come in and change our course. Brethren, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to wake you up. I'm saying that when we come here next Sabbath, the name of Jesus should just be flowing out. I'm talking about everybody walking and say, oh man, all these people in here talking about Jesus. You are called Christians. You're called Christians because you're a follower of Christ. Are we not? We never said we're followers of God. We said we're followers of Christ because we recognize that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has already established salvation in Jesus. So Jesus says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to who? The poor. I'm so happy to hear that y'all are feeding the unsheltered, and the work that you're doing, it doesn't go unnoticed in heaven. And that's where it counts. Because men will say good things about you today, and tomorrow they say bad things. So you need to make sure that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, where no one can take it out. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and to release from darkness the prisoners. God has called us today to act like Jesus in these last days. So let me share this with you, brothers and sisters, as I bring this thing to a close. I'm done. God is saying to you, this is coming from the Spirit and from the Son. As the two work together, they are working to change you and I to look like Jesus. Watch this. So when a non-believer comes in contact with you, they're like, no, there's something wrong. There's something different. So something about you I can't put my finger on, my brother. And you know what you do? So let me tell you about Jesus. Let me help you to put your finger on it. I don't want you to speculate. I can tell you why we don't act alike. I can tell you why I'm at the party, but I'm not drinking. I'm not smoking. I'm not cussing. I'm here to support my brother, but I'm not doing the things that everybody... Why are you... Listen, take a sip. No, I'm not sipping nothing. Because at the end of the day, people are looking to you to find the direction and the roadmap back to heaven. Brothers and sisters, we are blessed to live in a time that the Word of God is still active and living. The famine is right there. But I'm asking you all, just like Joseph stored up for Egypt, I'm asking you right now to store up, because the Holy Spirit is about to be pulled from this earth. And only those who are sealed by the living God will be able to make it in the last days. Today, my message is simple. It's time for us to change from a spoiled fruit to a good one. The Bible says, by their fruits, you shall know them. My call is simple this morning. Today, the Lord is asking you to shift your mindset. What we're about to go into today, what we're about to move into in these last days, is going to call for more than church attendance. Coming to the church is good. Coming to mingle and connect with your brothers and sisters is good. But in these last days, what the Lord is calling you and I to is more than just attending service. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want you to imagine there's a bowl of fruit. There are 12 fruits in this bowl. And the one that sits in the center has begun to decay. The other fruits are not moving. They're still there. And as they're there with this spoiled fruit, this decayed fruit, they realize that they are becoming weary and worn down without doing anything. I want to share this again. They are there with this decayed, spoiled fruit and recognize that they're becoming weary and worn down and they're not doing anything. The call is simply this. It's time for you to get up. Up out of that basket and start moving. If you're here this morning, and you're asking the Lord to make you like Him, Jesus, Would you just raise your hands? You're here this morning. Make me like Jesus. Pass me not a gentle Savior. Pass me not a gentle Savior. You're saying, Lord, make me like Jesus. I'm not asking you any difficult questions. I don't know. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed still. There's somebody. If you're here, a baptism is coming up later this month. You're saying, Lord, I want to go all the way in baptism. You'll get Bible studies if you need Bible studies. Whatever is needed to prepare you to meet your Lord and Savior, to have a wonderful covenantal relationship, it will be done. You're here today and you're saying, Lord, I want to give my heart over. I want to be baptized. Raise your hands. You're saying you want to be baptized. Raise your hands. If you're in here, you're saying you want to be baptized. Raise your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. Is there anyone else I want to join with? I see your hands. I see your hands. Anyone wants to join with my sister? You're saying you want to be baptized. You want to follow Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity right now to raise your hands. Let's raise your hands. We're praying. We're praying. Lord, we're tired. We've been putting up with fighting, arguing, and fussing with Satan day in and day out. And Jesus, we want you to take full control. We want you to be the servant. And we want you to help us to be like you. Lord, we're not asking to be lords in your presence. We want to be servants. So Lord, just as you have done for the disciples when you washed their feet, led them and served them. Lord, we're asking you to give us the same spirit to serve Jesus like you served, to love like you love, to live like you live. Lord, I'm praying for that heart right now that's wrestling with this word, wondering the crazy stuff that they've heard. They're still a little confused, not understanding everything. Lord, we know who you are. And Jesus, we're asking that you will attend to that person right now in the presence of the Holy Spirit to help to give them clarity and understanding. Lord, we're only here to serve and magnify and exalt the name of Jesus. So now, Lord, I ask for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you, Lord, to seal us for the day of your coming. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when you come, Lord, save us. Save us, Lord. Oh, Lord, we can't wait to see you. We love you. Do for us, Lord, what we can't do for ourselves. And we thank you in Jesus' holy and precious name. I humbly pray. Amen. And amen.